This morning's reading will be taken from Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. I'll be reading from the ESV version. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. You may be seated.
You know the beauty of life. You recognize the great anticipation that a couple has when that news comes that they're expecting a child. And as time continues and weeks pass, the anticipation grows more and more because that little piece of fruit goes from a grape to an orange to what a grapefruit, and then it seems like three watermelons. And you know how that goes. There's so much anticipation in those weeks of life. Scriptures say that you knitted me together in the womb. You knew me in that place. We experience and we see that happen as pregnant moms enjoy all the goodness of that season of life. We know the beauty of life as those children come and we get to meet them and share life with them. We have a very young one with us even today for the second time. And it's wonderful to see. We went trick-or-treating last night and a grandfather walked out with what seemed like a six-week-old baby in a little pirate costume, and I melted. So cute. We experience the beauty and the wonder of life from inside the womb and outside the womb. I had to discipline the young one today before we came, and it was awful. I did not enjoy it. Because that precious little life, I don't enjoy bringing the discipline and at times the necessary pain that's needed. But we appreciate and respect life. And so we don't waste it. Those children grow up. And you experience life with those children, to teenagers and young adults. And as I watch some people wrestle and struggle and strain with the flesh, it hurts. Why? Because we value and we respect life. The life that God has breathed into us. And so we hurt when we see others hurt because of the respect for life. And that continues on and on. Even at the very end of this life, when our loved ones breathe their last breath, we hurt for them because we know that this life has come to an end. We value and we respect life, both in the womb, out of the womb, for both young, middle, and aged. Why? Because God has fearfully and wonderfully made each and every life. There were about 862,000 abortions in 2017 in America. Now, that number is decreasing and has decreased since about 1990 up until the last and most recent date I could find, which is 2017. That's for numerous reasons, that decline. But the decline is something from like 1.4 million to almost just under 900,000. So it's not like, you know, massive steps are being taken. Here's the point. Life is being lost, taken from inside the womb. A place that God clearly defined as life. He clearly made known to his people that these are children, whether in the womb or out of the womb. And that's a biblical precedent. You know, Jesus showcased in his earthly ministry the value of life. When he came to earth, he came and he said, I came so that I can give you life and you might have it abundantly. Not so we can just enjoy things, but because of the value and the respect of living life on this earth. He even said this, bring the children unto me. And you need to become childlike, not childish, childlike. Why? Because of the value and the respect for life. He came to save us and our life. Why? Because of the great value and respect for life. Not just in this one, but in the time to come. I bring up 862,000 abortions in 2017 because I want to make a biblical point. The point is this. Life is in the womb, even before the baby comes out. And it's biblical. And I want to prove it to you. So in Luke chapter 1, go ahead and turn there. You know the story. The angel comes to Mary, and she said, and he said, you're going to have a child, but I'm not married. Don't worry, the Spirit will come, and he will put a child within you. And you'll conceive, he'll be the Son of God, all these things. And so Mary decides she's got to go visit Elizabeth, her relative. Well, as the scripture unfolds, Mary is going to visit Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. She went into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And look at what verse 41 said. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, quote, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, I'm not a biblical scholar, and there probably are several in our audience or maybe even watching online. But the Greek word there used for baby is brephos. You may have heard that before. That word brephos is used numerous times throughout the pages of Scripture and within the New Testament. But the word brephos means literally life in the womb or out. An infant, some theological dictionaries say, an infant both inside the womb or outside of the womb. And here's what's interesting. The exact same word brephos is used for describing a life in a pregnant woman and also outside, having been born from woman. You see, in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, the baby leaped in her womb. In verse 44, the word's used again. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, Elizabeth said, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So the Spirit used that word to describe a baby, a live baby, inside the womb of Elizabeth. It's used again in Luke chapter 2. I'm turning the page to verse 12. This will be the sign to the shepherds who are going to look for that baby Jesus. And here's what they said to the shepherds. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby, brephos, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Used again in verse 16. The baby lying in the manger. So the same word brephos, life, baby, is used for one inside the womb and also outside the womb. It's used again in Luke 18:15. It's used numerous times throughout the pages of the New Testament. And just to go through a quick survey, I put them right here so you can have all of them, from Luke in the middle and down. All those times in Luke, Acts 7 verse 19, when there's a description about how Pharaoh made the forefathers, that is the people of Israel when they were enslaved in Egypt, they made them give over their babies, brephos, their babies, and those babies were killed. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 2 is wonderful. You, like newborn infants, brephos, you should long for pure spiritual milk so that you may thereby grow up into maturity. But the point is, brephos, Greek word for baby, both in the womb and out of the womb. Now, that's just not a New Testament phenomenon. As a matter of fact, Job, in Job chapter 10, made a statement about how God, it's beautiful in Job 10. Look at it in your own Bibles. Don't just take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Job is right before Psalms. Job 10, verse 10 and 11. This is an entire biblical account of how life is both in and out of the womb. Job said this, "Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese?" Verse 11, "You clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews," meaning tendons, ligaments. "God, you did that to me in the womb. You gave me life, and you identified me as one with life in the womb." Why am I talking about all these different places? Because I want you to see the value that God places on life. And I want you to hear where God defines there is life. And where He defines it is both inside the womb and out. Look at the prophet Jeremiah. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. There it is. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to take you to several places in Scripture because I want to build such a biblical account that nobody can misunderstand the words that are being spoken. So we go from Mary, Elizabeth, baby, Acts 7, 2 Timothy, 1 Peter, infant, baby, life in and out of the womb. Job says, "You formed me here. You gave me bones and sinews, skin and flesh inside the womb," because that's where life is. Jeremiah the prophet said this, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying," interesting, God spoke these words to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations." You know what's significant about that? God appointed him in the womb. God's plans were determined for that child even in the womb. It makes it very familiar because in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, Scripture says that you chose us in Him even before the foundations of the world. And skipping to the next chapter, in chapter 2, verse 10, it says that God's prepared us for good works. Good works, which God's prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. What's the point? God identifies life in the womb. He appoints people in the womb and has plans for babies and life even in the womb. And so for people to take life, to steal life and to kill life in the womb would go against God's respect, design, and distinction of life in the womb. And I don't want to be guilty of that act. Now, right here in the middle, I don't know everybody's life and situation. I feel like in this sermon I've come on strong real quick. But that's out of respect for life. Let me share this with you. If you've been somebody who's gone through this procedure, who's gone through and done these actions of taking life in the womb, some people might say, "God will never forgive me." That's a lie. You can be forgiven. God will forgive you of that sin if, in fact, you've been guilty of it in the past. Quite frankly, you're probably the one struggling with all the guilt because you know the life that was taken from within you and you hurt because of it. You're pained because of it. And there are so many situations, awful situations that I won't list out by name and go into detail word by word in description of them because you've heard of them before and they're miserable. But absolutely God will forgive you of that sin. Absolutely God will create a guilt that will lead to repentance, a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. And you can have that in your life if you've gone through this. So I want you to know if you're there or have been there, you can be forgiven and you can find peace in God alone. But for all of us, I want us to have a renewed respect for life. And see how it's consistent without the entire Bible. This is really interesting to me. Look at Exodus chapter 21. Another place that indicates where life begins. And where God identifies life is. Exodus chapter 21. This is within the law code that God gave to Israel. As they're leaving, coming into the promised land, they needed rules to live by. They needed ordinances to become obedient to, because that was a part of their relationship with the Lord. Now, they took it to the extreme, and they missed the heart of the law. And Jesus talked about that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. But what's interesting is this. Exodus 21, verse 22. I'm going to read 22 to 25. When men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out. So this is a birthing process that's been brought about by strain or pain or injury. So that her children come out, but there is no harm. The one who hit her shall surely be fined. There's a monetary fine for the pain that she brought, that he brought to that pregnant woman. As the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So, a couple of things. First off, in that law code, if you hurt somebody, did something, you had to pay the penalty for it. And this is the situation. A pregnant woman is injured. She's struck in her pregnant belly, and then the baby comes out because of that stress strain and the agony to that baby. It's almost a premature birth, you could call it. Well, if someone did that and the baby's okay, well, they'll pay a monetary fine. But notice this. But if there is harm in verse 23, then you shall pay life for life. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Hand for hand. Foot for foot. Burn for burn. Wound for wound. Stripe for stripe. What is the harm? What if the baby dies? And is born still. Life for life. Why? Because God identified life in the womb. Even from the earliest of times. And there would even be no reason to say that the baby has died in the womb if it was not alive in the womb. God even protected unborn babies from Exodus chapter 21. And I think Christians ought to be doing the same thing today. Not as a political strong arm. Not to use for policy. But for simple godlike morality. This is not something that needs to be hijacked so certain candidates can win and find their place in the hierarchy of American government. This is a moral law code that God gave to people that we ought to be drawing people towards. Why? Because as we draw people towards morality, we're drawing them to God. As we draw people to God, we draw them to morality. We ought to be in the business of protecting life, valuing life, and respecting life. Why? Because our Father did, and does, and will continue to do so. So what do we do? What do we as Christians do? Well, we need to have a renewed sense of how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. How life begins in the womb and God acknowledges it as such. And because we value life, we take care of life. Because God valued life, we respect the life that He gives unto us. And so what does it mean? It means as parents, don't pass off your parenting to somebody else. Stand up, raise up, and be a parent for the Lord. What it means is as a neighbor, you respect the life that is around you. So raise up. And reach out and breathe life into somebody else because your influence could be eternal. What does it mean for us as members of the body of Christ? Value life and respect life. And we see people struggling in life. We reach out to them and we comfort them and we counsel them. And we help bring them closer to the Lord our God where there's peace and hope, forgiveness, and eternal life. We value and respect life. So we as individuals commit ourselves to living a devoted life to Christ. What does this all mean? Well, Jeremiah was told by God, I identified you in the womb. Job made a statement. you formed me in the womb. Elizabeth felt her live baby leap in the womb. God set out laws to protect children in the womb. We need to have a renewed respect. We need to counsel and comfort. We need to counsel and comfort. I heard one evangelical preacher talk. He was asked questions by a group of people who sounded a whole lot like the Pharisees. When the Pharisees would ask Jesus a question to try and trick him, to stump him, to get him in, to mix up his words and to use his own words against him. And so he was asked about a situation like that. And he posed this question about a teenage girl whose boyfriend, she and the boyfriend got pregnant. And then the boyfriend found out she was pregnant. And then he left. He said, I don't want anything to do with you. Get away from me. Don't ever talk to me again. And so this person asked the question, what should that impoverished, poor, left alone teenage girl do? What would you have her do? And this peaceful, seasoned evangelical preacher said, find counsel. Find family in the Lord's people. Also remember that two wrongs don't make a right. That abortion is not some quick fix to a simple problem. But there are more deep-seated issues. Like, why aren't people respecting sexuality? Why aren't people respecting God's design and the place where God said sexuality is free and it's holy and it's righteous, which is in a married relationship, in the marriage bed, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. There's a much more deep-seated issue here, of which abortion is not a quick fix. But find counsel, find comfort. There are many options for teenagers, for women who find themselves in those situations. But if you act quickly and emotionally without thinking and praying and finding proper counsel, you might fall into the hands of the devil. Make a decision you'll regret for the rest of your life. We as a church, we need to counsel and comfort. We need to respect life, and if people fall into those situations and put themselves in those situations, we need to have our arms open, reaching out. We need to be a church full of people that don't have it together, who look broken and scarred and marred by sin. Why? Because we're reaching out and helping to draw people within the Lord's body. The only place to find true hope and peace. We need to counsel and comfort. And with the respect and renewed love for life, reaching out to those people who might be broken and hurting. We need to preach. And we need to preach the sanctity of life. That all life is valuable. That all life is holy. And all life can be saved in Christ. And I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 1. The place that I referenced earlier in the lesson. Paul made a statement to the church here, and he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. If life is taken, in the womb or out, a life is stolen of the opportunity to be holy and blameless before Him. A life is stolen before, into verse 4 and verse 5, in love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. A life is stolen of the opportunity to be adopted as a child of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so now, as we have by grace been saved through faith, and this is not of our own doing, it's the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast, but we are His workmanship. Workmanship that He molded, created in Christ Jesus. He literally breathed life into us, not just physically, but also spiritually. Created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Just as God said, Jeremiah, I appointed you in the womb and I set you aside for this holy purpose. God has done the exact same thing to us today, spiritually speaking. Appointed for us a life holy and blameless. Isn't it wonderful to experience the beauty of life? In the womb and out. Now I know I'm a parent. know sometimes it's tough and hard. I know sometimes in worship settings it's a challenge, and you feel like for years you don't get to worship and be present in an assembly because you're constantly monitoring and disciplining and parenting. But boy, let me tell you, the fight is worth it. The struggle is so valuable. And to you, all you mothers and fathers and grandparents and aunts and uncles who have children in the pews, thank you. Thank you. You're teaching. You're guiding. You're showcasing life spiritually to a young child. And I tell you, it will pay off. And I'm so grateful to each and every one. On the spiritual side of things, as we close, you may have lost sight and how fearfully and wonderfully made you are. Not perfect. Not free from sin. But fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. I believe that God has placed within each and every person a little God-like quality, a piece of His very nature to draw all men unto Him. And if that piece of you today is being pricked and it's being spoken to and it's being drawn into the Father, do not withhold what God is doing within you as His Spirit, according to John 16 verse 8, is communicating to the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And do not withhold what God is doing within you today. If you want to value your life in a spiritual way, you need to make sure your life is devoted to the Lord our God. Amen? That's right. And we want to be a spiritual family to help you, hold on to you, and walk step by step in that holy and blameless life. As Christy and Candace have responded in recent weeks, and as we are a group of people who are devoted to helping those who need our help, we want to support you and encourage you and lift you up. And you need to let that be known. You can let that be known now, after worship, on Monday afternoon. Call my cell phone Tuesday. Why? Because you value and respect the life that God's planned for you. And we want to help you in that. Let's stand up and sing a song together.